This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Welcome back to the podcast. Lots of crazy headlines. As expected, it's an election year, in case you hadn't noticed. And all the news gets a little bit crazy. For example, have you noticed all the talk about bird flu and pig flu and cow flu? And what are some of the headlines that I've seen? First of all, they've been reporting the first mammal found with bird flu. Well, the dolphin died like 2 years ago from something completely different. They gave it a PCR test. Why? Nobody can explain. Nobody's seen the actual test results of this or have any understanding really what was going on. Dolphin, bird flu. It's from 2 years ago. That was like the last pandemic, guys. It wasn't this round. And then I saw the farm worker in Texas with bleeding eyes and I wouldn't exactly say bleeding eyes from the photograph, but the hysteria is genuinely real. It goes wider and wider. We'll get into some of that. And that's just one little tidbit. Anyway, I was giving you kind of a big picture view yesterday of a couple different things, some things we talked about on the radio show, and then just what I see going on politically as far as the movement of things that Obama ushered in this Columbia University social experiment that's been brought on through a lot of chaos, which is really a Marxist way of doing things, that rather than sitting down, having real discussions and discerning things, that we create false emergencies, false conflicts, and we just ram things through whether people want it or not. And it's not a good result. When people feel that they're being forced to do things, there's no buy-in in that, and there's no commitment, which means there's no loyalty. And I believe that's part of the reason why we see so much corruption going on today. Anyway, what else is going on? Lots and lots of stories that I wanted to update you on. This New York Attorney General, Lolita James, I think she's just suing everybody. And she probably just took a playbook out of the Josh Shapiro political playbook. He'd done the same thing here, the governor of Pennsylvania. He sued the Catholic Church. Don't quote me on all this. Catholic organizations, whatever, gas companies, I believe. And, you know, he would tell you that he's a champion for justice, but there's a lot of damage done by these lawsuits at the same time. We don't talk about it so much anymore because everybody is an enemy these days, but a lot of damage. I mean, you want to see an example of it? Try using a gas can. Do you know how the current gas cans came to be? Lawsuits over safety, because people would pour fuel out, they would spill it, and it would cause an accident, and they would get hurt, and they would sue the manufacturers, and they would say, well, it's your fault for making a faulty product. Well, gasoline is dangerous, you got to handle it with care, and when people don't do that, things happen, and I don't want to blame anybody, but the bottom line is that the forced implementation of, quote, safe fuel cans has produced something that is entirely unusable. Try getting gas from a gas can today into a car. You can't do it. You can't do it with the current spouts on there. So what do you do if your daughter breaks down or runs out of gas and you got to go get gas? How do you get the gas in the car with these cans? It's ridiculous. And you literally can't. You know what I'm talking about? You got to like hold the safety thing back and push down and then try and pour the damn thing at the same time. You got to have three hands, but this is what they call safe. This is the result of forced implementation instead of ingenuity and free market capitalism. That's the result. Nothing but a bunch of worthless nonsense, and we see it everywhere. Anyway, this attorney general, she's now suing facilities promoting abortion pill reversal. Lolita James in New York on 16 February 24, that's the photograph. The organization behind the International Network of Anti-Abortion Facilities is misleading people with claims that abortions can be, quote, reversed. Oh, boy. The organization, Heartbeat International, is affiliated with more than 2,000 facilities that aim to convince people to continue their pregnancies. How horrible. In recent years, many such centers, which are often Christian, sometimes known as crisis pregnancy centers, have started to promote a controversial practice known as abortion pill reversal, which claims that people can halt the medication abortion midway through. The first randomized controlled clinical study to attempt to study this reversal protocol's effectiveness came to an abrupt stop in 2019 after three participants landed in the hospital hemorrhaging blood. Now, this is pretty interesting to me. And I wonder if people taking the pill realize that once you take the first pill that you can't stop or you'll die. Is that what they're saying? James' lawsuit accuses Heartbeat International, a slew of New York-based crisis pregnancy centers, of making claims about abortion pill reversal that violate New York laws against deceptive business practices, false advertising, and fraud. The lawsuit calls for defendants to pay thousands of dollars in civil penalties. Obtaining accurate information can be especially difficult in the context of reproductive health care, where opponents of abortion intentionally distort and obscure facts to convince, scare, shame, or guilt people facing unintended pregnancy into deciding not to obtain or complete abortions at a moment when they are particularly vulnerable. Yeah, interesting. But the pro-abortion people aren't playing a similar game. It's fascinating, really, the evil. What does the Attorney General have to get involved in this for? Fascinating, really. This is a great story. Remember the Miss USA 2023? She was the Air Force officer, the first to fly a jet. These photos, every time I see her, it looks like somebody different. Air Force officer makes history as Miss America. 2023 Miss America pageant winner Noella Voigt announced Monday that she made the very tough decision to resign from the title, citing mental health. Supposed to be a military officer capable of going into dogfights with multi-million-dollar aircraft. But the mental health aspects of being Miss America are too much to handle. What a joke. A new mayor in Philadelphia, she's causing quite an uproar. You don't hear too much about her. You know why? Because she's making sense, a lot of sense. Now, I'm not a fan. I don't know much about her. But she is trying to do some things that are plainly practically good for the city, real tangible progress. Maybe it's a real progressive for a change. You know what her crazy idea is this time? Year-round school. I think it's a great idea, especially for the city of Philadelphia. Instead of having these kids running all over the place, have them continue learning. It'd be the best thing ever, really. Frankly, it could be a move that could save the inner cities, reverse the ghettos, really. Here, the U.S. is updating its Social Security estimates. Here's what you need to know. The government report due later on Monday will issue fresh projections on how long the trust funds for Social Security and Medicare will last. The government report due later Monday will issue fresh estimates for the budget outlook for Social Security, which provides critical benefits for retirees, workers, survivors, and some people with disabilities. Oh, as well as the illegal immigrants they're passing it around to. The report is expected to warn of automatic benefit cuts starting in 2030 because the program is paying out more than it takes in. So what did we talk about yesterday? We talked about the Columbia University plan to implement a welfare state where everybody gets guaranteed income. One of the things I didn't talk about with this yesterday, and I believe, by the way, that the what I wanted to say here, for years now, Social Security has been expanded and expanded and expanded and not funded at the same time. And that's the destructive pattern. And I believe it's all coming out of the same venue, this Columbia University. I see it at the VA. I see it at Social Security. I see it with the public statements, especially with the mental health. You go to the VA and you say, my toe hurts. And you know what they're going to tell you? Yeah, maybe you should get a mental health exam. Are you suicidal? I kid you not. You pick up the phone to call the VA and say, I'm calling to make an appointment for hearing. And they're going to say, are you feeling suicidal at all? Have you felt suicidal? Have you ever felt suicidal? Would you ever feel suicidal? Have you ever spelled suicide? Are you sure you're not suicidal? And after a while, you're going, Jesus, am I suicidal? I'm telling you, it's a little game going on. And if you listen to what I told you yesterday, I think it's very much by design. As far as Social Security goes, you may recall me telling you years ago, I did work with a young adult and an older teen youth group, if you will, troubled young adults. And when I say troubled, they were in crisis, multi-generational. What am I talking about? Let's just be clear about it. Maybe you want to cover the kids' ears. This isn't really for family consumption, I guess. But some of the things were just plainly disgusting. It would be generational drug use. So, you know, mom or dad or both were smoking pot openly around the kids and probably doing other things, I would guess. And this would just be the culture, right? And I know a lot of people that talk about this. It's a bad idea, guys. You're doing your gummies, you're doing your little thing. I personally would say to you, you want to keep that away from the kids, but that's your business to do what you want, I guess. That's not what I saw in these marginalized groups. Well, the drug use and the partying would ultimately bleed into other things. Sex, sexcapades, sex parties. And to say that these things were deviant would be the understatement of the century. And you hear all kinds of crazy stories coming out of this stuff. I remember reading a story here on the podcast about a young girl who, I think she was adopted or something like that, and she reached out to connect with her birth father, her biological father, and he ended up raping her, was the story. And you think, oh, my God, like, what the hell is going on here? Well, then you read into the story, and, well, they did a little acid together. Sick, man. Sick stuff. You know, when you drop, I don't know what acid's like. I can't speak to it. But, you start hallucinating, and I guess you get horny, and you can't discern your daughter from your wife. I don't know. It's disgusting to me. Absolutely disgusting to me. And if you're engaging in behaviors that are hurting children, maybe it's time to reassess. It's free. But anyway, that's not what I saw going on at all. I didn't see any remorse. It just seemed like a way of life, really. And here's what I didn't witness this, but I heard plenty about it. They would do these hardcore drugs, and then they would go do this thing that at the time they called group. And group was a place where they just mixed everybody together in this giant orgy of sorts, and it could be violent, frequently was. The police would be called. People, you know, I don't know, man. There was just a story, maybe I have it here, the furries convention. You've heard about these furries? Go look into it, man. It's not a good place. It really isn't. Anyway, back to the Social Security. I got off track. I saw with these young adults, they're drug addicted, and they all had the same story. They would tell you that they were, you know, some version of the same story, that they were abused and or they had mental health problems, and that they self-medicated for that. And I would often wonder what came first, the drugs or the mental health issues. But the bottom line is this. You have got an enormous, enormous, enormous number of people living off of welfare. When I say enormous number of people, I'm talking about entire communities. No. I'm talking about entire regions. You go up to the coal region of Pennsylvania, you get past the Delaware Valley here where we are in Philadelphia. I own property up there. I know. You go up there, and it's been devastated. Devastated by lack of jobs, drugs, complete societal breakdown, more or less, just like the inner cities. And they're all living off of welfare and Section 8 housing. We wouldn't take it, which is ultimately why we sold the properties. I would imagine today they're Section 8 properties. We would never do it, but this is how things ran up there. And think about what I told you yesterday. It's all part of the plan. Keep everybody dumb, doped up on welfare, and just slaves to the system to be used and abused for whatever economic purpose I guess the elites need people for. I don't know. I do know this. As far as the economic situation, they've destroyed Social Security in large part by giving it out in those situations. Social Security is never designed to be a place for drug users having panic episodes to get economic relief. And it's very damaging. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't help people in a situation like that. I'm just saying this isn't the way to help them. And, you know, here's another thing my mother used to say. You don't help the poor by becoming one of them. And maybe this should be taught at Columbia University, because this whole plan is just going to sink the whole country. I mentioned this Monday on the radio show. The Russians have added yet another layer of armor to their giant turtle tanks, they call them. It was an article from Forbes magazine. They were basically laughing at the Russians for being so foolish to put anti-drone armor on their tanks. Oh, really? No, the Americans just got rid of our tanks. We didn't do any of that. The joke's on us, I think. Here's another sign of the times. Five hydrothermal vents have appeared in the dark heart of the ocean. The ocean's blowing up. What I found, they were talking about the enormous amount of heat being released from these hydrothermal vents appearing in the dark heart of the ocean. And I thought to myself, gee, if ocean temperatures are rising, could that have something to do with it? I don't know. Another little story I saw, how online shopping is saving the brick-and-mortar stores. And they say, well, it's all worked out perfectly. People are coming and shopping at the stores and ordering and having it delivered, in some cases back to the store and so forth. I predicted this. I said that this was going to be a good thing, that the age of big stores with all the lighting and the air conditioning and the insurance that goes along with it, and they have formulas. So let's just say you're going to open a clothing store. Let's use a clothing store, okay? And you're going to put all of your inventory out on the floor for people to just go through and find what they want. Okay, great. That's how we did things. And let's say you're going to end up with a million square foot store, which would be very possible, by the way, for a shopping mall to be a million square feet. And just in case you're wondering, a million square feet is about 23 acres. So you could absolutely have a shopping mall that would cover that. Well, here's the deal with all that. You can have a million square feet, 23-acre shopping mall. Guess what you got to have? Parking. They're going to assess based on the size of the mall, bathrooms, and all kinds of other things. Whereas if you were to take that down, say, one-tenth of the size, everything is going to be reduced. You don't have to provide all that parking. You don't have to provide all those bathrooms. People are coming and going. They're not staying as long, logically, in and out, do their order, do their business, and get the heck out instead of hanging out, loitering around. It's much cheaper. Much better way to do business. Far less expensive. So I predicted this. I think it's a good thing overall for efficiency. The Social Security problem and problem with the welfare state that we've created now is paying for it, right? I mean, it's great to say eradicate poverty and redistribute and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, people do things because they want to or not. And, you know, human nature would dictate that if there's an easier way, people will frequently take it, even if it's not a better way, right? So, for example, at $2 million per minute, Treasury's mint cash like never before, $2 million a minute in new cash being created. So all this debt, massive, massive amounts. We're already well over a healthy GDP, which is what this is what the Columbia professor Obama would say, you know. People want to talk about the debt, but we're still very healthy range GDP. Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. What, they don't even hear them say that anymore. Let's go to the U.S. debt clock here a minute. You should be checking this regularly, too. U.S. debt clock. What's the latest numbers here? Coming up on $35 trillion in debt. Last time we talked about it, we're just passing $34 trillion, but now we're coming up on, it must be within 100 days later. Let's go back. Let's see what the time machine takes us back to here. Let's go back to 2020, which would have been 4 years ago. $28 trillion, right at. So there has been $6.5 trillion of debt added in 4 years. So 6.5, and I think it's more like 3 years, but let's just use the four. $1.6 trillion in debt every year. Last time I gave a big update on this, it was running about $1 trillion a year. Back at the last election 4 years ago, that was the number. I remember it being reported that there was a structural deficit of $1 trillion a year. Now it's 1.6. And just to give you that number in real terms, just that debt of $1.6 trillion a year, forget about all the taxes we're paying, because it's the total, the government spending, I don't know, $7, $8 trillion a year. But $1.6 trillion is about it's just the new debt at the federal level every year. $5,000 for every man, woman, and child, that is. Just that debt portion. $1.6 trillion divided by 330 million is $5,000 a year in new debts that the federal government has taken on. So over the last 10 years, what does that mean? $50,000 in debt. You don't believe me? Let's go back. Oh, I just closed it by accident. Let's go back to the debt clock a second, and let's do the math on it, okay? And you don't need to be a real smart person to do this math, because good old the Oracle of Google will help you with this, and I'm sure the other search engines will too. So you just go to the search bar, 34.7 trillion, and you don't even need the zeros, just type it out. divided by 330 million people about in this country. 330 million is 105,000. Yeah, they already have the number here. I guess I could have done it. The U.S. debt clock says it's $103,000 debt per citizen. They only look like a fool. You don't need to use Google at all. It was right in front of me. I'm making other people look dumb. I made myself look dumb. The number's right here on the U.S. debt clock. $34.7 trillion in debt. That is $103,000 in debt per citizen. Per taxpayer, $266,000. What does that tell you? Yeah, less than half the country's paying any taxes at all, and the rest are living off the debt that's being created. To put it another way, the half that aren't paying taxes are destroying the wealth of the half that are. And we're all going to end up with nothing. Hence what I said yesterday, the message from my mother, you don't help the poor by becoming one of them. Fascinating, really. Really fascinating that we allow this to go on. The 2020 budget showdown, we're 4 years away. Is that going to hit Trump? Or they're projecting between $40 and $46 trillion in debt between in the next 4 years. That debt will jump up to $115,000 to $133,000 per citizen. Now you might say, well, "I don't care. How's it going to get paid back?" Blah blah blah. Listen, it's going to destroy everything. It already is. You can see the effect of it. Freaky, really. And they just keep printing more. And all the while, they're telling us that despite all that printing, we still don't have our Social Security money. Big, big problems on the horizon. All right, what else do we have going on? CIA chief headed to Qatar for emergency meeting on Gaza. This is an old story. I guess it didn't work. Why is the CIA involved in peace talks? I have no idea. Interesting question, don't you think? Boeing faces 10 more whistleblowers after two more die. Listen, the plight of the whistleblower needs to change. The truth needs to be told. We'll get into it another time. Some of it's done in the open. Democrat Massachusetts governor approves $400 million in freebies for illegal immigrants, building up the welfare nation that Obama's vision. This is Obama's vision being realized. Healey signed the state budget this week that included an additional $426 million to house illegal aliens. And correspond to the state's right to shelter law that requires the government to put illegal immigrants and homeless people into homes. Fascinating. Let me ask you something. What happens when the money dries up but the law's still there? You think they round people up and just put them in camps? Hey, this is the best we have? You watch. That's what's going to happen. You watch as it all just gets run down to nothing. The next 10 years are going to be fascinating to watch. You're going to see a resurgence of rugged individualism, whether people want it or not, because the money's not going to be there. Did you know that the Department of Justice is suing Google in an antitrust case? This is epic, reported by the Epic Times, no less. Why isn't it in the news? Do you think that the DOJ will win? I don't think so. I think this just goes to show how much influence Google has that they've been able to keep this story quiet. People are afraid to talk about it. People are afraid to say anything about the DOJ. They're afraid to say anything about Google. Dollar sanctions in Ukraine aid package risk dollar privilege. This is the Epic Times. It's already done. We're going to keep the dollar away from people that we don't like and give it to people that we do like. And basically what that means is we're going to take all the white people's money and give it to all the other people. And then it'll be gone and there will be nothing and everybody will be miserable. Have you ever heard of the product Hims and Hers? It used to be advertised a lot on social media. It caught my eye because all of their ads were mixed race. It was always a black guy and a white girl that they used. Well, this is pretty interesting about this company. I think maybe Kim Kardashian was involved, but don't quote me on that. Well, the CEO came out and said to and by the way, what this company does is they peddle in sexual enhancement drugs, hair replacement, weight loss, anxiety, skin treatment. And anyway, the CEO came out and he said, you know what? Any of these pro-Hamas protesters, I'll give them a job. Fascinating, right? This is what we have right here in America. I don't see much American capitalism. Do you? Google CEO stresses business over politics. This is laughable. What did they say here? There was a line here I wanted to share with you. Sundar Pichai, I don't know how to say this guy's name, CEO of Google and Alphabet. It's not a white European name, is it? CEO of Google and Alphabet attends a press event to announce Google as the new official partner of the women's national team. Who cares? Google fired 28 workers. There was a statement that he said. He says, we have a culture of vibrant, open discussion that enables us to create amazing products and turn great ideas into action. That's important to preserve. But ultimately, we are a workplace, and our policies and expectations are clear. This is a business and not a place to act in a way that disrupts coworkers or makes them feel unsafe to attempt to use the company as a personal platform or to fight over disruptive issues or debate politics. Really? And this dude, I don't know if this dude's Indian, Hindu, or Muslim, but how much more could Google be? They created this monster, and this is exactly what happens. You know, Google's been as political as ever. They've been absolutely through multi-agencies and whatever, saying that Google's influencing elections. But don't you little people get involved in this. Us big people take care of those decisions. Yeah, okay. Then I saw this story. 6% of states will decide the presidential election. This is the propaganda site Axios putting this out. The Titanic Biden-Trump election likely will be decided by roughly 6% of voters in just six states. What is this? Propaganda to push back on the Electoral College system. Both campaigns are obsessed with six states: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Oh, the most corrupt states. Those were the battleground states disputed by Trump. Those are the most corrupt states where the most elections are stolen, where the most ballots are stolen. A seventh state, North Carolina, is included in some swing state polls. It's rated lean R by some. The other 43 states are either solid or likely for one of the parties. Very interesting. So the parties corrupt a couple of states to swing things in their favor, because that's all they need is a little bit, because the elections usually run like 50-50. It usually is pretty well. They're always close. They're always close. And this is how the bookies make their money off the VIG. They don't care who wins. As long as the money keeps flowing in, all they want is the bets. You understand? They will make sure that they cover the spread. Trust me. Trust me. The don't you worry. As much as Social Security's going bankrupt, the country's going bankrupt, your taxes are going to go up, your children won't be able to afford homes, college is done. Don't you worry. The colleges are well-funded, they've got huge endowments, and the political parties are well-funded, the politicians are well-paid. So you can rest easy, okay? This was from Gallup, and I talked a little bit last week. There was a Gallup poll that said that the border has come to the number one issue. So even Gallup has been politicized now, because everybody knows that the real issue is the economy. Now, safety, I guess, could become a front-runner issue, but people aren't feeling unsafe yet from the border. It hasn't really hit yet. And by the time it does, it'll likely be too late. But here's what Gallup says now. Last week, that the number one issue they said was the border. So Gallup's become politicized. Now this week they say, with Americans less optimistic about the state of the U.S. economy than they have been in recent months and concerned about inflation persisting, their confidence in Joe Biden to recommend or do the right thing for the economy is among the lowest Gallup has measured for any president. But what do they say that people, they don't put it like they used to, that the people, you know, the poll on the economy is low. No, they say confidence in Biden economic stewardship historically low. How many of the average person knows what economic stewardship even means? Arguably, that's like a right-wing radical term these days. Stewardship, that's a biblical term. Gallup's gone full-on threat to democracy here. They keep talking like that. What a bunch of nonsense. The dollar's been trashed. They've run up incredible debts, doling out money to people we don't even know their names. And they say, what could go wrong? And then if you bring it up, they say, woo-hoo! Racist. Shut your mouth. Shut down, sit down, shut up. That's the name of the game right now. And if you have a career in any of these things, you better do it. I'll leave you with this one in case you think that there wasn't enough lunacy for the election. Chinese scientists engineer mutant Ebola virus in controversial experiment causing severe symptoms and death in lab hamsters. Oh boy, the world is going to end. Why are they messing with these things? Why are they doing it? In this experiment led by Wang Yang and colleagues from the Changchun Veterinary Research Institute of Chinese Academy of Agricultural Science. Oh, boy. Maybe we should stop messing with these things. Just a thought. Experimental group, control group. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. Serious. Gain of function research. lack of BSL-4 facilities, whatever that is. You know, some kind of control to keep these dangerous viruses from escaping. What are you going to do? Well, there's a lot of sinister activities going on, all funded by this funny money that's floating around. It's making the whole world a little goofy, as best I can tell. Maybe it's long history repeating itself. Maybe we just haven't seen that perspective. It's like the flow of traffic. You wonder, you say, why is everybody going so slow? You wonder, is there a blockage in the road? No, it's just because the sheeple all saw one person slow down. They go, oh, slow down. What do we do? What do we do? Nobody knows what to do. They just follow the person in front of them right over the cliff. And it seems to be the political path that we're taking for the entire country. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.